the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. If you've tried to rent or buy a home in the last few years, you know it can be hard to find something, first of all, to rent or buy, and also find something affordable. So today I'm talking with London Free Press reporter Norman DeBono about London's housing crisis and what's being done to create more homes, and if that's even enough. Hi, Norm. How are you?
Very well, Rachel. Thank you. How are you?
Good, good.
Thank you for today.
Well, we love having you on for sure. So what's fueling the need for so many new homes, whether it's rentals or homes to purchase? What's fueling this need?
Well, there are more people coming to London. London is seeing a very significant population growth. Historically, if you look back, decades ago, London's population grew at about 1% per year. But in recent years, that rate has doubled, about 2%. And we're seeing literally tens of thousands of people move here over a period of several years. And the reason why that is largely migration from Toronto. There's a lot of people fleeing the very expensive Toronto market. There are people who are work-from-home people who can go anywhere. So they are deciding to move to a lower-cost region so they can buy a home here. Or there are people who are retiring or downsizing, so they're selling their home. And then, buying a property here. So we're seeing a real influx from the Greater Toronto area, and it doesn't appear to be slowing. Like I spoke to developers about this week, and they are clamoring to build more and more, faster and faster, trying anyway, to meet this demand. We have in London over the past 5 years, we've had so many developments approved, and at the city level, once a development proposal goes to the city. They say, hey, I'd like to build this tower, or this subdivision, or these single-family homes. It takes 5 years before really progress is made and doors are open and people can take occupancy. That's optimistic. That's if everything goes smoothly. It can take.
And I'm assuming things slowed down in that regard during the pandemic, or when things weren't available just after the pandemic. We're waiting for materials and things like that.
So the pandemic slowed the whole process, slowed down a lot of things on a lot of fronts. The city staff wasn't moving as quickly in terms of doing the work that needed to approve developments. The whole development cycle was slowed down, but you're quite right. Building materials were slowed. Labor was slowed. People weren't working. And of course, costs increased right after the pandemic. And it took some time before the supply chain caught up with demand. So even after the pandemic lifted after 2 years, 2 to 3 years, it's still slowed and it's still not great, but it's much better now. So that is sort of caught up now, but we are lagging behind. And there was a time when cities were not building so much because they didn't really see the need. They didn't have the need. And then we're just getting hammered by this influx of population very quickly. So municipal governments, and London is one of several, along with the building community, I've been sort of lagging behind because they've got hammered by very increased demand, great demand, suddenly. Mm-hmm. So, but they're trying, they're really genuinely trying. They're trying to speed the process. Builders are trying to move as quickly as they can, but, they have to be, you still have to have standards for building. It's really important. So
yes.
I don't want them to fall down. So they still have to adhere to that and make sure they're compliant while moving fairly quickly.
Yeah, there were some complaints that building permits were taking too long. Let's just explore that a little bit more. But as you say, there has to be, there has to be a standard. Do London's building permits take longer to approve than other municipalities? Or
let me ask, the building community would say yes. I spoke to builders and developers who do work in Windsor, they do work in Waterloo, they do work in other cities, and they say London is slower than some of those cities. But when you go to the city and ask the staff and the politicians about it, they will say that, they will admit they need to move faster. They want to move faster, but they have limited staff. So there's been a push lately to cut the red tape at City Hall, jump through fewer loopholes or through maybe cut down on the inspections or the number of inspections that are needed, and also to hire more staff. It's just really, a lot of it's a staffing issue. There's been a real loss of personnel in the planning department in recent years. Mm-hmm. They've gone to the municipalities. They've retired. There's like a lot of areas of the labor force. planning staff, there's been a shortage of them, and it's been hard to find them. And it's a difficult qualification to be a planning professional. So not a lot are coming forward. So there has been some movement in recent months to hire more people, to smooth the planning cycle, to move more quickly. There are some provisions at City all about dropping certain standards and requirements. And that's part of the Ontario's Building Homes Faster Act or something like that. That has said, okay, you need to, so it's a law that's built for the development community and saying to developers, the city wants you to do all these things, you don't have to do these things anymore. So that's supposed to move things along. But not to talk too much about it, but that's also raised a lot of red flags, because it's like, there are reasons why we have building standards, and there are, design and look and height and size are important. So if you say, as this legislation does, you can no longer delay a project because of the cladding, which is the exterior of the building. Is it siding or is it brick? They thought that was trivial, but there are a lot of neighborhoods that would be very concerned if a certain kind of appearance went up in their neighborhood of a, of a certain building. So
it looks totally different, right? So it does, it affects the streetscape. But let's talk about rentals first of all, because I know that you wrote about rentals most recently. It is so hard for people to find rentals and find affordable rentals. You know, a lot of people can't find anything they can actually afford. Absolutely. So what is the goal? What is London's goal in terms of rentals, and what's happening this year with that?
Well, there's a sliver of good news. Let's start out with that. That, you know, in this month, there are about 1,200 units that are available in the City of London for rental. And when I checked with rentals.ca, that is up considerably over October. October, there are just over 800. Mm-hmm. So there are more rentals coming online. And that's because there's been a lot more building. The building pace has accelerated. Again, what we said off the top is it takes 4 or 5 years to build these things. So 5 years ago, there were a lot of permits, and now they're kind of they're getting ready to open. So I have a story in today at lfpress.com that says that by the year end, by the end of 2024, there should be about more than 1,000 or 1,200 units coming online. And that's significant. Now, I started thinking, oh, this is a good news story. This is going to really help. But all the builders said, it's a nice start, but it's just it's a drop in the bucket. We need a lot more than that. And one builder, two builders actually, said independent of each other, it's going to take several years, perhaps up to 10 years, before we get caught up with demand.
Wow.
So, and that's with the pace of building moving very quickly now. Like they are, every planning, the City of London has planning committee meetings every couple of weeks. There's a list of development building proposals to be approved. They usually get moved very quickly. And then once they hit that cycle, they're like I said, 5 years out. Mm-hmm. So, it's going to take a while to get caught up with this, but there is some thought that we're moving in the right direction, that steps are being taken, and that eventually we're going to get caught up here. Might take 10 years.
Something's better than nothing, but it might take 10 years, but is the demand still going to be there 10 years from now? Like, is demand this demand going to keep up for that long?
The demand is going to increase. They feel the demand will be there for some time to come because of the Toronto influx. They don't see the migration from the greater Toronto area, not the City of Toronto proper, but anywhere in that great Golden Horseshoe. It's so expensive there now. And people who are retiring can literally sell their home for millions, come here, buy something for a fraction of that cost, and enjoy a pretty lifestyle, but just being a couple of hours away. So it's been very attractive. And they don't see that slowing anytime soon. Will it be there in 10 years? We'll see. But the feeling is that it just may very well be. But I mean, right now we have, and it's not cheap to get an apartment in London. I mean, it is, the average price of a one bedroom in London is about $1,600 a month, and a two bedroom is $2,200 a month. So, and
that's higher than a lot of mortgages, you know?
Yes, it certainly is. Yeah, it certainly can be.
Yeah.
But when you get into mortgages, then you have a little thing about you have to have the deposit, and you're going to be paying taxes and maintenance. You have to buy a lot more, and that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. You may not know the answer to this, but if everybody's moving here from bigger cities, Toronto, are they having these issues in Toronto, or are they, they're bleeding people? Are they bleeding people? Do they have more vacancies?
I don't know what you call them. I think that there's such a massive population in Toronto that they're certainly not feeling the effects now. And also remember, that's it's such a center for migration, for immigration, that when new Canadians do come here through immigration and through refugee claims, they go to major urban centers, and Toronto's one of them. So Toronto is seeing a significant influx. So I don't know the numbers on it, but I'm going to suggest that, in fact, it's not a concern to them losing these people.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of the rentals here that they're building. Are they all apartments, and are they different? I mean, are there some townhouses?
They're mostly high rise and mid rise. Okay. And they're not just downtown. Downtown has seen quite a few, but there's a lot going on in North London right now. And the South and Southwest have seen significant developments. High rises go up in recent years. But they're mostly residential high rises, but there's a lot of townhomes that are coming online too. If you townhouse developments are becoming more common. They are being seen. You can rent them at a rate comparable to an apartment, but they are like a home. So for a lot of people who, you know, if young people are sort of giving up on the idea of buying a home or saying that's not for them, they may pay a little more in rent, go to a townhouse and have a home feeling to it as opposed to a residential high rise. But it's fair to say that a lot of the building right now is high rise, especially in the core area. There's one development that is going to open by year end called Centro. And it's going to open with 250 units by the end of the year. But next year, there are two other phases of construction coming on phase there, online there. And it's going to have an additional 400 units. So it will have more than 600 units by the time it is fully going in 2026. And of course, the Acquia and King is another one that's just opened. Mm-hmm. It's 200 units, and they've rented out 100 of them already. And there's several other towers in the core that are about to open, doing pretty well, but it's across the city, but it's largely residential high rises for the rental market anyway.
Yeah. You mentioned that this is just a drop in the bucket of what we need. Do you have numbers on what we actually need? Like, what would we actually need to keep up with demand? I know it's not doable, but have they put a number on that?
Yeah. I think looking 10 years out, I think so. They said, we're going to need a 10-year period before we sort of get caught up on this. So I don't know what it's going to be like 10 years out. I don't think there's been forecasting to that. Okay. But there has been forecasting to say that London's population could grow 20,000 in the next 5 years or so, 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot.
That's a lot. It's a lot that we don't have. Yeah. Let's talk about the new building, new home, homes to purchase, because London could have some money from the Building Faster Fund, which is from the province. Of course, this is the province's incentive to have us build more homes more quickly. And we had a goal this year. What was our goal in terms of building a number of homes? And are we going to meet that? What's happening with it?
So, I mean, the good news there is that we have, I think, more than a year to sort of comply with that. But I'm just going to cheat here and sort of check the story because I get mixed up because numbers are hard. if the city reaches 80% of its target in a year, they will get access to a $1.2 billion fund. So that goal for them now is they broke ground on 1,800 new homes in 2023. It's about half of what they wanted to see built last year. They had a goal of 3,400 units. So it's not good. I don't know if they're going to be able to make it or not. I know there's a real push to do that. I mean, the province says they want to bring in 47,000 new homes in London by 2031.
Right.
So since 2022, we've built 4,000 new homes. Okay. So it is.
We've fallen short of our goal for 2023.
Yeah. I mean, the city's optimistic. Oh, we'll make it. We're going to try to make it. We don't want to leave that money out there. But I don't know where they can, because it's really not. This is the thing that people have to remember. It's really not driven by the city. The city doesn't build houses.
Right.
The development community does. So the builders will say, you can't force me to build a house. I'll build a house when I think I can make money of it. And the thing that's really hurt the home building cycle are interest rates. So, the prime rate now is 5%. So, which means if you go to buy a home, it could be 6-7%, depending on where your mortgage is at.
Yep.
And so, when builders go and they borrow money to build a home, to build a high rise or build a townhouse to development, they're paying interest rates that are, well, I mean, 2, 3 years ago, it was 1.5, 2%. Now
Yeah.
it's 5. So
Right.
they're just not building, or they're not building as much because they can't carry that much debt. So as soon as those interest rates drop, you're going to see an explosion of building. It's even more than you are now. But developers they're businesses, like everybody else. If they're if it costs a lot to borrow money, they're not going to borrow so much. So
Absolutely.
that's really being hindered by the interest rate increase. And interest rates, if I can just go off on a tangent for a minute, I don't know if you have
Sure.
capacity for this,
Yeah, we do.
I wrote a story last week about how the interest rates are having another effect, and that is that people are defaulting on their mortgages. So
Right.
the default rate in London in 2023 rose 83% over 2022. Now, I have to say, Ralph, that sounds like a staggering figure. 83% more people, or the number of defaults on a mortgage rose 83% over the preceding year because of high interest rates, people not being able to make their interest rates payments. It's still about 70 homes in a city of 400,000. So
Okay.
it's not that many right now, but it's a concern that we have to be aware of. And I think we have to be quite cognizant of it. And it could get a lot worse. If interest rates stay high, again, the prime is 5, but that means borrowing money is 6, 70%, depending on what you're going to borrow.
And if interest
So
rates go down, they're not going to go down several percent, at a
no, you're
time.
going to
So,
have to be small. So there's the CMHC. When I talked to this Canada Mortgage Housing Corporation about this, their real concern is 2025, because they have a record number of mortgages coming due because people sign 5-year terms
okay.
next year. And but at 5 years ago, the mortgage was about 1.5%, and now it's 5%. Even if it goes down in a year, it's not going to go down that much. So
Right.
people may not be able to afford their homes. So we could see a flood of homes coming on the market. That's a real concern.
Yeah. Okay, well, what is the plan for London and the city in terms of building more rentals? I mean, we're just trying to ramp up as much as we can, but are we looking at hiring more people? You mentioned that was kind of the goal at the city and the
The
planning department.
province has provided more funding to the city to expand its planning and development staff. And I think they've done that. I think builders are saying it is better. It is they are sort of dropped some of the red tape and the hurdles to ease building at a cost. And builders are saying that it is moving faster. It's working, but it's still not a lot, and it's still
Not
not enough.
enough.
But they're doing what they can. I mean, I think it's just a situation that we're going to have to work through for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, thank you, Norm. I know you've written several stories about this at lfpress.com. You can check those out if you want for all the facts and figures in there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Pleasure, Rachel. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time today.